Namaste friends, Suswagatam, and welcome to our Sunday edition of Words of Wisdom, Gyan Ganga, on our Virat Hindustan Sangam social media channels. Today is episode number 218, and our topic is five state results and the impact on 2024. We have got the four election results. The fifth one counting has been delayed, and it will be probably tomorrow. And the second topic of discussion is Panoon hit job, flawed intel or truth. These are the two important topics we'll be discussing in the next 45 minutes on our Gyan Ganga Words of Wisdom. As you know, we have Dr. Subramaniam Swami, and we have with us Sri Iyer, who is associated with P Gurus, whose portal everybody daily likes to hear, read and see, so that they know what's going on around India and America and all over the globe. And you know that Sri Iyer is based in the United States. He has 57 patents to his credit, and he is behind P Gurus. And he has written numerous books, colorful books, and he has been writing on numerous topics and breaking many scams and exposing the truth. He has recently published a book on money. He has latest published the book Paper In, Money Out, which we have discussed in our show already. And there are other books, The Rise and Fall of AAP, NDTV Fraud, National Herald Scam, and numerous other books he has written. So we welcome him to our show. And with this, it is over to Dr. Swami to start this discussion on today's interesting topic of the results of the state assembly elections and the Panoon hit job. Over to Dr. Swami.
Thank you, Jagdish, and fellow participants. My very good Indian standard, I should say, very good night or very good evening. We have had a tremendous situation today where by the media presentation, the results have been quite the opposite. And of course, as BJP members as BJP supporters, we are all extremely happy that it has happened. And what we are today is going to discuss is the ramification of what has happened. Now, the most important thing is that there is no doubt that I've been associated with the Jan Sangh since 1969 or 68. And I have seen it from a minuscule status slowly come up. And then it came into a coalition with Atal Bihari Vajpayee. This government was formed. Of course, it was also part of the Janata Party and it was part of the government also. Then slowly it has now reached the stage in 2014 when on its own strength, it got absolute majority, very substantial absolute majority. So the growth of BJP and particularly its organizational strength, which is provided by those who have been through the RSS and the RSS, being a social organization, produces people who deal with the issues of the state and the country and so on. So those who come through that, they are experts. And I know that in one of the most difficult thing as a candidate, I know I've been six times elected to parliament, and three of them were to Lok Sabha. And the people who are in the booth, and they watch who is coming on for forged vote, claiming to vote when the vote is not his, and then how it is to be counted and so on. So many ramifications. And so over the years, I also contributed to the VVPAP. So all this put together, it's a gigantic step, and in that many things can go wrong. But by and large, I think the country is mighty I do feel that in the North, there is this fact that many of the things which have been held as dear and not being implemented earlier have been implemented. Ram Mandir is one, Ram Setu is another. Many of the temples have been now built. Some of them have even been freed. So aside from the economic side, there is a side for at least the BJP workers, BJP voters, the Hindu people, they who happen to be 80%, they are of the view that the BJP has done this, what they promised, not all of it, but they have done substantial amount. And that this is one of the stable factors why in many places we win. If there's a loss, we can also regain, like in Rajasthan, we have now regained after losing it. And I'm sure that in Karnataka also, having lost, we can regain it at the next time. So all told, and that it's a major thing, a major boost for the BJP for the Lok Sabha elections. And one can expect that the BJP will also win at the Lok Sabha level. Now, what we need to consider is that we have to understand what are the challenges we are likely to face in the coming 5 years, and whether the policies that we need to pursue, what kind they are. At the moment, I would say that as far as the election machinery for parties is concerned, it's all decided. But it could do a little more. It could hold elections within the party, which used to do till the last 10 years. There have been regular party elections after every 2 years. And I think this has had brought the party to the shape it was in 2014. And that needs to be done. So these are matters which we can't discuss today. But I think in the future, we might consider dealing with it. So this is one aspect of it, I would say. And I would say that this election has shown, and I'd like to, if anybody wants to contradict what I'm saying, please do that. But I do feel an undercurrent I noticed where people just didn't like the Sonia Gandhi, Rahul Gandhi, Priyanka, etc., that family, the domination of that family and the mistake of creating them as the lead factor in what they call as India or something they create in Arab, which led to many people putting a distance. For instance, Mamta in Calcutta has put a distance. Some others have put a distance. So this is a factor which I think Sri Guru might tell us what he thinks about it from a distance, that whether the existence of these of the successor Nehru family, successors of the Nehru family, whether that is a minus factor for the opposition in elections. And that's what has been shown in the last few elections. So this is the one aspect that I think it's a developing aspect, and I hope we can have more discussion in the future. The second thing, which is the issue that the Panoon case. Now, we are, snooping in a country, another country, there's nothing extraordinary. I mean, India was snooping there, that's nothing extraordinary. But even the assassination things that are done, many countries do it, but they do it successfully or it doesn't come out. But in ours, there's been a great deal of amateurism. For example, the Indian operative from who had come from India had actually confided into an intermediary who was to provide the killer. And he happened to be an undercover agent for the Americans. I mean, this means that there wasn't the due diligence that was necessary. So it has put us in a bit of a difficulty. And the Americans, of course, will ultimately not take it to the point where they will break relations with India. But there are ramifications of it, and that I think because Sri Iyer lives in America, he might give us a perspective on how it has been done. So over to Iyer. These are the two broad points I've brought out, and I hope you take it from there.
Namaskar, Dr. Swami, and namaskar to all our viewers, fellow VHS members. It's great to be back on on VHS platform to share my thoughts on what played out. Dr. Swami, first and foremost, credit where credit is due. The BJP ran a very disciplined campaign. They listened to some of the people, because I work closely with sophologists who are well-meaning, who pointed out the flaws in their strategy in Karnataka, and they fixed it to some extent in the northern states. For example, in Chhattisgarh and in Madhya Pradesh, as well as I think in Rajasthan, what they did was they identified the pro-Congress constituencies, and they announced the candidates early, giving them a lot of time to go and do the groundwork. And you're seeing the results of that in places like Chhattisgarh. Also, there are things that, you know, we laugh it off saying that, ha, 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 it is not really something. But there was one big positive that the Modi government did, and that is to appoint a tribal person, Draupadi Murmuji, as the president of India. Sir, you and I, we may think that it is not a very consequential thing, but for a society who feels downtrodden for many, many years, for them to be set up and taken notice of, it's a moment of pride for them. And I think that is the dividend I think they got in Chhattisgarh especially. And I'm expecting that the same thing will happen in 2024 also. So some things that the Modi government has done has given them great dividends. Also, a flawed strategy by the INC committee, the Indian National Congress, how they went about doing this thing. Dr. Swami, you know, for Rahul Gandhi to adopt, you know, some of the things like the union of states that the DMK was espousing first, that India is a union of states. Second one being that, you know, when this guy said, Udayanidhi Stalin said, loudmouth, that I'm here to eradicate Sanatana Dharma, and he echoed it. And not only him, a few others did too. And this is something that people do take notice of. Dr. Swami, another thing that also I've seen is that today there are many YouTubers like me, many. And many, the fastest growing YouTube language is Hindi, sir. In Hindi, it could be Bhojpuri, it could be the Avadhi accent, it could be local accent. But the YouTubers were very active in states such as Chhattisgarh, in Madhya Pradesh, to a lesser extent in Rajasthan. So this tells us that people are consuming their content not from looking at TV, not from listening to some of these biased channels, but they want to make up their own mind. And when you give them choices, they do take it like a duck takes to water. So a lot of these things went into it, but clearly the BJP also, in my opinion, could have done better in Telangana. They did a regime, the president's change, that, and the president was much more aggressive. They failed to read that there was a fairly large anti-incumbent sentiment in Telangana, because Congress has come from nowhere to win in this one. So there are positives, and there are some things that BJP will have to put its thinking cap on to see what could have been if they had not pulled its punches. So there are things of this nature also to be considered. So let's take on, but credit where credit is due. Hats off, BJP at least can breathe easy that the road to 2024 will not be full of thorns, but it will still be having some thorns. There will be some pinpricks here and there. That is a given. And they have to just ride it out. But this was a big, big litmus test. So I congratulate them for that. Sir, let us take a look at the case of Panun. Dr. Swami, if somebody is ordering a head job, especially a government to employee ordering a head job, the deal will not be using cash. Today, you want plausible deniability of the highest order, which means there is an alternative for you, which is Bitcoin. They would have just, whoever does it, they would have just given that person in Bitcoin. That way, it's complete, no track, no trace of, being able to be caught. This is something where I think what happened was there were people in the Drugs Enforcement Administration of the United States who were in touch with, this person, this individual, Nikhil Gupta, who was hiding in Czech Republic. And I think somewhere they said, okay, let us tie in the knots. That this is a bit of a sham. I'll tell you, Dr. Swami, I'll tell you another reason. when the first press release came out from the Southern District of New York, they said that Nikhil Gupta was living in Czechoslovakia. Can you imagine? Czech Republic and Slovakian Republic have separated 20 plus years ago. The statement read that. Okay, so that tells you somebody read it, somebody wrote it, somebody just copy-pasted it, didn't go through the detail. Then when someone pointed it out, guess what happened? Not only did the DOJ change it, but every publication that lapped it up, including the BBC, they also changed it to saying that this person was living in the Czech Republic. But it tells you that this was a ham-fisted job. Whether Indian government had a hand in it or not is a matter that will have to be proven beyond doubt. One of the things that they said, the Department of State, there's a 15-page indictment order. They said that they have records of conversations between the said CC1, which is the Indian government official, and this person, Nikhil Gupta. And they also talked about a lot of other things. Now, there are some things that may or may not be brought in the public domain. For example, you know and I know that Justin Trudeau's plane, when it landed in Delhi for the G20 summit, it had a lot of drugs on it. Has the Indian government officially said this thing? No. So there are some things where when you're talking about heads of state, diplomatic protocol, diplomatic immunity, some things you have to keep it under wraps. You use it as a leveraging chip rather than coming out in the open and saying it. So I have my doubts about this whole thing. Also, Dr. Swami, Pannu is a loud mouth, he's a loose mouth. He talks a lot. My fear was that this guy might incite some of the less educated Punjabi youth who have actually snuck into the United States and Canada. There's a hugely profitable drug running business that also smuggles in humans. And this starts from Sangrur area in Punjab, where your good friend Simranjit Singh Mann will take 35,000 rupees or 70,000 rupees and look at the youth and say, this person XYZ of this place, son of blah, 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 the usual stuff, and say he is being persecuted in Punjab. That person will take that letter and come and submit it to a judge in Canada or US and seek asylum. What has the Indian government done about it? I have been saying that, you know, Simranjit Singh Mann should be, quizzed. This is wrong. 1,500 to 2,000 people are coming in every year illegally into the United States. We have no clue where they go and disappear. There are huge tracts of land in California itself, which is farmed by Sikh farmers. I'm not even talking about Canada. Canada is a big wilderness. We don't even know what happens when they go there. But the point I think I'm trying to say is Pannu has been quiet lately because somebody told him, okay, you know, pipe down now. Don't talk too much. So clearly, will the CIA deny that it is now handling Pannu? Why else did he keep quiet? It is very un-Pannu-like for him to keep quiet, sir. He will loudmouth something. He'll say something. It is his nature. Suddenly he's gone quiet. So there are lots of other questions that Indian government can also ask. Look, what happened to this guy? And I can't say it publicly, but I know a lot of undercurrents that are at play here. And the United States is yet to apprehend the culprits who set the SFO consulate building on fire in San Francisco. In connection with that fire, the National Investigative Agency on the 22nd of November made some arrests, not only in Punjab, but also in Pune. It's the day after that this thing came up, sir. So there are some other things that are like, you know, this happened and then therefore this happened. Therefore, there is a connection. All these things will not see the light of day, but you can already see that Blinken has expressed his satisfaction that the Indian government has appointed a high-level committee and it's going to look into it. Sir, also, I would request you, VHS members, as well as P. Guru's family members, to watch two videos I put out just days before all this. Who in the Department of State hates India? That was the first one. And the second one, who in the Department of State hates Israel? Actually, in my opinion, the one on Israel is more important for India because there are a lot more details of the amount of poison that is finding its way up the ranks of the US Department of State. 10 years from now, it will be much, much worse. I'll also tell you one more thing, sir. While I feel happy that Governor Gavin Newsom vetoed the SB 403 bill, which would have written caste discrimination into law. Already that is being covered by another law, ancestry law, and they didn't need it. But people wanted to make a statement. The question is, once Gavin Newsom demits office in a few months from now, he's termed out. The next person standing in line, a lieutenant governor, is a hand-picked Soros appointee. And they will find a sneaky way to come up with a similar law again, and we have to be vigilant. My point in saying all this is some people have it out for India. They could be Muslim Brotherhood, they could be Pakistan, they could be Iran. By the way, a lot of people say Iran is a friend of India. I doubt it. I because the data points to the exact opposite. There is a place, there is an institute in Rutgers University called National Contagion Research Institute. And they track fake social media messages that are put out by various organizations and various countries. You will be surprised to know, Dr. Swami, that Iran is the highest anti-India vitriol that gets poured at maximum. And we don't even come to see these things because you and I, we are on WhatsApp, we are on Twitter, some of us may be on Facebook also. But the real activity where the youth are being poisoned is in a channel called 4chan, 4CHAN, and another channel called Telegram. Telegram is based out of Russia, but they say that they are independent. Be that as it may be, I haven't seen any problems in Telegram. I do use it once in a while. So these places, the next generation is completely wokeified. There's a huge challenge for parents of my age. We probably didn't see this thing coming. We got blindsided. Whatever it is, the question here is there are more such things going to be happening and India needs to be able to defend itself. They need to be more batting on the front foot, in my opinion. They did bat to some extent. I think more of such is needed. That's all I can say. By the way, Dr. Swami, before I stop my concluding initial remark, it is Pandit Satish Sharma and my efforts post the 370 abrogation where we showed the mirror to the Indian High Commission in New London. Look, Labour is passing these kinds of resolutions in their party annual party conference and you guys are still giving Diwali invitations to Labour. That's what stopped this nonsense. And then only Mr. Dr. Jayashankar started discovering that there is a front foot way to play also. Till then, it was at the crease or on the back foot. Credit where credit is due, sir. I'm Pandit Satish Sharma and I, we were the ones first to highlight this thing. So again, it goes back to that Virat Hindustan Sangam. It has actually told people how you can be modern and you can still be imbibing the values of Sanatana Dharma. This is the most important thing of the all the charters that VHS has. And I believe that some of us have been able to successfully shape people's opinions and minds. Thank you, sir.
Let me ask you this question. If India and the United States are friends, then couldn't this espionage thing we have off the newspapers and dealt secretly between the two countries? Why was it publicized? And it was, in fact, it turns out that the Canadians were forced by the Americans.
Dr. Swami, that's why I said that those two videos of mine, sir, that is why I said, please look at those two videos of mine where I have actually named and shamed people, sir, who are taking an anti-India stance. Dr. Swami, the moment...
So you are saying that this is not a policy of the taken at the level of the president and his council, no, but it is by bureaucrats at various levels. That's
Yes. And I also explained this, sir, in decision making in the United States, what happens is somebody is denoted as a certain area expert. Very rarely will you go and do a 180 degree change on his or her report. Sir, I'll give you an example. When US said that we are sending troops to help Israel post October 7th, first the story came out that 100 employees in Department of State have written to President Biden opposing Israel's, opposing US's decision to help support Israel. One of them even resigned. The truth is, the number is 500 signatories, sir. Can you imagine 10 years down the road, Blinken will be gone, Victoria Nuland will be gone, our own, Indian-American, there's a guy, Richard Verma will be gone. All the people who are a little bit more experienced in global policy will be gone. You'll have all these loudmouth ranters. Uzra Zaya is an Indian-American, but of Bihari Muslim parents' origin. Hater. Rashad Hussain, another ambassador at large. I don't know what he says. Another one who's a rabid India hater. And these are the people who will be actually suggesting to the Department of State officials, like the Secretary of State, what they should be, what stance they should be taken. So there are challenges. Department of State has more than three or four camps. I'll give you another example, sir. The director of CIA, Burns. Do you know where he used to work before he joined, he became the CIA director? Macro Advisory Partners. And viewers, go and take a look at who runs Macro Advisory Partners, and you will understand where the influence is coming from. So today, suddenly you are seeing against skirmishes along the Indian border, and IMF is beginning to dole out some money to Pakistan, despite knowing fully well what Pakistan is doing and how it is plunging into darkness. Why? So these are all things where US also doesn't want India to run away with its growth. They want India to kick and scream its way to coming to 5 trillion. Again, 5 trillion, not in current rates, but in constant GDP. So that is, again, sir, you and I understand the difference. For the armed army, it doesn't make a difference whether it is 5 trillion or GDP current or constant rate. For him, he says, oh, good, India is doing well. It is just that rush of blood, that's all. Beyond that, there are not much, but it feels good that India has grown to that level. Fine. So you see that there are people in the United States, they want the Bunsen burner, gas stove. They have four settings, sim, low, medium, high. So that is what they want to do. The gas is not off. By that, I mean that people who think ill of India in the United States is not off. It is not just US. US is helpless. China has its people all over US. China has police stations inside the United States. Can you believe that? They have police stations inside the United States, and they only caught two or three so far. The number is at least 10 or 12.
Yeah, they have Chinatowns, which we don't have.
I can tell you that things are taking a very ugly turn now, especially with the new H9N2 virus that is coming out of China again. I think US will stop flying to China today or tomorrow. And if that happens, then you can expect the rest of the world to do that. So this is going to be another COVID-like situation, I'm afraid. Already two cases have been identified in Massachusetts, one in Massachusetts and one in, I think, Ohio or Iowa. So US also is, it's not just US, many other countries also have these cases. So this is the white lung, they call it. When you take an X-ray of your lungs of the people who are infected with this, the X-ray shows all white. And so far, deaths have not been many, but there are a few deaths. So new crisis brewing. But right. I hope I answered your question, sir. Department of State in US is speaking in many voices. 100%, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, I understood. Jagdish, you take over now.
Okay. Ramesh, you start.
You're muted still.
Ramesh, you're muted.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Sri, this is a more of a question for you. In the Pannu case, what is the alphabet soup of all these organizations, CIA, FBI, this and that? What role have they played? Because this is not new, because I'm pretty sure that India would have complained about Panon in the past. Why have they not taken any action on him?
See, the way the United States works is there are lots of lobbies that have a lot of influence among the administration. The administration picks people for like 4 years or less than that. Sometimes if somebody is a spectacular failure, they'll ease that person out. So these are all people who are paying for influence. In other words, they are saying that we want this person of ours in this particular role. And money gets paid for that. So Soros, Ramesh, is the highest, biggest donor for the Democratic Party, 100 million. With an extra 115 million, devoted for special constituencies, special districts where you need to spend more money to get your person elected. So he has given a carte blanche $215 million check to the Democratic Party. And this is what gives the progressive the come up and saying that, look, the party needs us to win elections. And they, you have some loud mouths who speak, you know, wild stuff. That's all I can say. So there are, I believe, this is my, that's why I said that those two videos, we've done a lot of research and only then come out with it. We say, we think that in exchange for a certain amount of donation to the party, somebody has to say that I will give you this position. Now, the Department of State, whoever suggested these names, they were very clever. Uzra Zaya, Indian-American, but anti-India, anti-Hindu. Khaled Rashad Hussain, Indian-American, anti-Hindu, anti-Indian. How do you think the government of India can go and object to these appointments? They'll say, look, these are all Indian-Americans. Are you telling me that Indian-Americans don't like India? Then there's something wrong with you. Right? So this thing can be turned very easily against you. And also, you don't get to know these things ahead of time. The Democrats, for the longest time, they did not know that there were all these undercurrents. But you have two sets of people that are coming into US, Ramesh. One set, not useful skills. They are dependent on the state dole, and they have a lot of time on their hands. And the other set, like you and I, who have come here because we felt that meritocracy was not being rewarded in India. And we are fighting our battles every day and day and night. We complain about taxes, we complain about things, but we don't stop paying taxes. Now, this group, all they need is some amount of, you know, brain matter that will come and tell them, okay, here is the playbook. That's where the toolkit came, because they are dealing with dumbos. These dumbos can only at best, copy paste from here to here and do a few changes. How many times have I done programs where I can show one particular overarching graphic around which like 10 variations of the sentences will come? That's all these guys are capable of. But these are the people who have a lot of money. Muslim Brotherhood is funding through Qatar. Iran is funding them. And probably some of the aid that US sends to Pakistan finds its way back here. We know that how US aid works. Most of the money comes back here by way of projects to US companies. Same thing China tries too. So a lot of undercurrent is in play. I wish there were 10 P Gurus YouTube channels so that things can be reacted to much faster than what we are doing. At the same time, I'm hoping that this will open up the eyes of the average American who's very well-meaning, very innocent. They don't know much of what is happening in South Asian countries, all the different undercurrents, and they tend to take somebody's word for it. And that somebody happens to be knocking on their door, especially the congressmen, assemblymen, senators, whatever, 10 times. And for every 10 visits of these alphabet soup organizations, you have one visit from the pro-Indian group. And as a policy, India doesn't lobby. Guess how many organizations lobby for Pakistan? Somebody says 400, even assuming 40. That's 40 too many, my friend. They're constantly, look at Tammy, that senator. She's again bringing up that the Indian minorities are feeling threatened. She's bringing a Senate resolution.
Sri, one quick observation. I think one place where India has really lagged behind or kind of failed is to not build support within the media, one, in the US media, and two, even among the congressmen or congresspersons. They've not built, you can look at Pakistan being such a pathetic country. They have phenomenal support in the media and they have some support even in the Congress. India has not built people like Ro Khanna or people like that into their side and saying that they have to bat, because they're also on the fence, right? People like Ro Khanna are on the fence. But at the end of the day, India needs to kind of establish or build relationship or bridges with at least a few congressmen. It's just not only once in a while when Modi visits or something like that. I don't think that is a good strategy, because India is important in the global scenario. But again, India cannot just say everything will be handed down That is not something that the US, because if you expect US to hand you down something, they're going to get 10 times more in return. I think that this is typically what the US strategy is. I think India has failed in that part. And that's just based on what you just said. I'm just making my observation. Dr. Somi, do you have anything else to add to this? Because I have one question about the elections to you.
I have a question for Sri Iyer. Sri Iyer, you talk about these various groups who are anti-India and all that. But India being a democratic country, vis-a-vis Pakistan, a failed country, Islamic country, why can India not have Indians or Indian lobby not have a very dominant role to play in the United States, while a tin pot country like Pakistan has a big influence, what you say, in US? That is one aspect. Second is the Panoon case. Why are such type of cases only emerging now, and why were these type of matters not done by the same type of anti-Indian lobbies in the past? I just want to know, all of a sudden, when Mr. Narendra Modi gets a rousing reception second time in a row in Washington, and here something the government is doing contrary to that. Why is that type of things happening now, especially?
Jagdishji, it has to do with the policy of the Indian government. Indian government does not believe in lobbying. See, sometimes the way things work in US, especially in the United States, is even if the sun is rising in the east in your country, you need to have somebody come to the United States, senators and congressmen, their aides, to tell them that, look, the sun rose in the east in India today. What a great feeling it was. You have to keep reinforcing that positivity. India doesn't do that. India is always in the reactive mode. It is not in the proactive mode. Now, the reason why Pannu has become so much bigger, Jagdishji, this is my opinion. I have no facts to back up this. It is my opinion that now the Khalistani movement has enough money from the drug smuggle that they don't need other countries or other agencies, for example, CIA or FBI, to fund them in this effort. They already got it. I'll give you another example. They have completely infested the California political apparatus in both the Democratic side as well as in the Republican side. There's one individual here, one lady in this side. They both are so virulently pro-Khalistan. They have never gone to Khalistan. They have never been to Punjab. How did that become? How did that happen? It happened over 10, 15 years. Now that money has come into play, and now there are some tacit players such as Turkey, you have China, you have Iran. All these people are also aiding and abetting this effort in a covert way. And as far as why Pakistan has so much influence, you go back to 1947, around 50 or so, Pakistan did this CEATO with the US, CENTO with US. What does all that mean? They were getting a lot of money. That was what was the prosperity about. It was trickle-down effect of the money that the generals and the politicians of Pakistan were getting. That was sort of spreading across Pakistan, and that looked like Pakistan was doing better than India. And I told you that any money that comes from US will find its way back to US. In 1971, the US Sabre jets were the ones that were found wanting against the Nats and the MiGs of India. It is the hands, it's the pilot that makes the difference. You know, it is not the plane that makes the difference. They had bigger tanks, but India could easily, destroy them in the Thar Desert. So the thing I'm trying to say is India still needs to fine-tune its policy. It needs to have a muscular lobbying group. Right now, Jagdishji, in the last 6 months, especially after the SB 403, we have political action committees which are associated with Hindu Americans. And we are making our presence felt. And it is making a difference. It is, you are seeing, how many places have you seen now resolution? Many states have declared Diwali as a state holiday now. A lot of things are happening, but this is happening because of, like-minded people such as myself, such as Ramesh Swami. We realize that we are getting a bad rap for not saying anything. So now you need to build on this and go to the next level. And I'm not expecting the Indian government to do much change. I think the Indian American can do the change. 4 million people, 4 million Indian American electors, only 30% voted Republican. I would like every one of them to turn independent. I'm not saying become Republicans overnight. Be independent. Make your vote count. I'll also give you one other data statistic. Jagdish ji, in 2022 elections, in 9 states out of 50 in the United States, the percentage of voters who call themselves independent was the highest. By 2024, it will be 20 states where the independent voter is the largest voting bloc. The people are not fools. They are reading. They are watching videos. So things are going to change. The Democrats are not going to have it so easy. Of course, they have other ways to win elections. And they will say that Republicans are gerrymandering and that's how they keep getting Republican candidates. This is a mess. I completely agree. India has done a better job as far as doing EVM and a consistent way of voting across the country. Although one thing that I would still insist that the Election Commission do, just to take this bugbear of EVMs being manipulated, what they need to do is they are doing random checking of printed ballots versus the electronic votes. But in my opinion, they need to be doing that for 10% of the EVMs. Each EVM probably stores 1,500 votes. 10% they need to do that random checking. Not one. The number now is very, very, very small. That is statistically insignificant. Dr. Swamy, as a statistician, you would agree that if in 10% randomly selected EVMs, where you are checking the electronic count versus the actual physical count, if they all tally, that would mean that it was a clean process. 10% you cannot handpick and say, I know this, I don't rig. I know this is rigged. I don't want this to be. You get the point, right? This is what the opposition needs to be doing. I mean, tell me who has the intellectual gravitas in the opposition to understand how statistics works.
No, but Sri Iyer, that random thing is happening in Indian electoral machines.
It's not enough. Sorry, it is not enough. No, they are doing two per constituency.
But
okay, so 230 constituencies in Madhya Pradesh. Divide that is 460 EVMs. 10% is what I'm saying. You take the electorate, you divide it by 1500, that is the number of EVMs that are there. I'm saying 10% of those EVMs taken randomly. Bring all the political representatives, let them watch, do the counting. That has to be done.
Sri Iyer, what will be the 5-state election or 4-state election results which have come now? Will it have any impact on the US government thinking towards India in the run up to the 2024 elections?
The US has many wings. The Department of Defense, in my opinion, is solidly with India because they see that once they abdicated the responsibility of managing the oceans of the world, that is by leaving on the 15th of August 2021 from Afghanistan, they knew that people will start rearing their ugly heads here and there trying to assert themselves over some areas of influence, right? So the Department of Defense knows that a country like India is essential for them to be able to respond fast to some of the pinpricks that are going to happen. Wherever oil is, it is like, good and mucky. That's what's going to happen. So the Department of Defense, in my opinion, stands solidly with India. Department of Commerce, solidly with India. The Department of State is where the infestation is. I don't know when that will be cleared, but clearly there are lots of problems there. I think another term of the Republicans is needed. Maybe that will clear it. I'm hoping that it will.
Okay, Arvind, do you have any questions?
Before I have questions, I have some observations as well on the election. I don't know much about the Pannoon case, so I will not comment on that. The 4 states results which have come out today, they have underlined certain things which were being even mentioned before the elections, either reflected through the opinion polls earlier or through exit polls day for yesterday. The most important thing which I think can be underlined is that Rahul Gandhi has failed as a leader. 1. 2. Modi has re-established himself and Modi ki guarantee this is the phrase which is going to work in 24, or if not work, at least BJP is going to use in 2024 election. Modi is the only leader in this country and BJP. That is what BJP has now found. It's not a new discovery, but elections have re-established him. Modi Shah. Modi and Shah, this combined will be more dictatorial, not only within the party, but even within the country after this election, which is reflected by the massive win in the three North Indian states. The result of Telangana, I'll comment later. But the three elections that I'm talking about, I said Rahul Gandhi has failed as a leader. He was talking about Mohabbat ki Dukaan, Nafrat ke Bazaar mein Mohabbat ki Dukaan. Nobody in this country understands what this phrase is. And therefore, the magic of Rahul Gandhi, which he was thinking will work, has completely failed. One. Two, the fight within the Congress, both in Rajasthan and Madhya Pradesh, has let them down. Kamal Nath was so arrogant that he did not even allot 6 seats to Samajwadi Party in out of 230, and he was willing to offer 1, and then he used the word Akhilesh Vaklesh. Who is Akhilesh Vaklesh? I don't know. And this has hit the Yadav community. There's more than 1.5 crores Yadav in Madhya Pradesh. And in especially bordering Uttar Pradesh, the Bundelkhand area, Morena, Gwalior, Chambal area, this area was actually very weak area, despite of Jyotiraditya Scindia coming to BJP. But now it has responded as a statement against the statement of Kamal Nath. And same thing happened in Rajasthan because of the fight between the pilot and Ashok Gehlot. Kamal Nath's Hindutva had failed. That is one very important thing. Because Kamal Nath tried to be more Hindu than the BJP, which was not possible. He even brought Baba Bageshwar Nath to Chindwara and had rallies. Baba Bageshwar Nath, one of the most followed Hindu leader in recent times, at least in last 1.5 years, all over country, and even the media loves him. But he supported Kamal Nath, did not work. That means you cannot beat BJP when it comes to Hindutva. And that also failed. So Kamal Nath supported Ram. He carried Ram Darbar with him. Bajrang Bali ki puja. He established Mandir. He inaugurated Mandir, Hanuman Mandir, but nothing worked. One most important thing, which is I've been observing since morning, nobody has blamed EBM since morning. And the reason is that they have an achievement sort of in Telangana. If BRS has returned, I'm sure by now 20 leaders would have blamed EVM. So one is that. Now the question is who will be the CM? The Modi Shah dictatorship within the party, they had tried, they're not projected anybody. They had not even projected Shivraj Chauhan, who has been there for 18 years as chief minister. And they did not project Vasundhara Raja Sindhya, who is the single most vote catcher in Rajasthan on BJP's part. Instead, they brought several MPs to fight the election for assembly, both in Madhya Pradesh and Rajasthan. Surprisingly, many MPs lost. And one most favorite minister of Amit Shah in Madhya Pradesh, who was number 2 in Shivraj cabinet, who was aspiring to be the CM. Every 1 month he made the statement against Shivraj, not so openly, Narottam Mishra. Narottam Mishra lost by 12,000 votes. And maybe the Shivraj magic has to play. And when Shri Ayyaji was mentioning about the importance of local language, let me tell you, the kind of folk songs and the folk music BJP used in this election is tremendous. I mean, in every nook and corner, every local language, the entire campaign was in local language and using the folk music. And they say, Mama magic karat hai. Mama magic karat hai means Mama is the nickname for Shivraj Patil, who claims to be the brother of the women of Madhya Pradesh. And he says, Sara Madhya Pradesh mere bhanje aur bhanjiyan hain, means the sons and daughters of my sisters. And he had this Ladli Behan Yojana, which were 12,000 rupees per month he is going to give. Where from he will give, that future will see. But this promise has worked in Madhya Pradesh against all the promises of Kamal Nath. So the question is, Dr. Swami, with his experience, and Shreya with his political analysis that he has to command, whether Vasundhara Raje will be brought as chief minister, or they will bring somebody like Baba Balaknath, who's called Yogi of Madhya Pradesh, a Yogi of Rajasthan. So maybe Balaknath may be one of the candidates, or maybe Meghwal may be one of the candidates. Or there are a large number of MPs who have also won, and maybe Rajyavardhan Rathaur or somebody. And similar thing in Madhya Pradesh, whether they will bring, now since Narottam Mishra is lost, so one contender for the chief ministership against Shivraj Chauhan is gone. So maybe they'll pick up somebody else. Diya Kumari could be one of the candidates, who is a Rajput also. So Dr. Swami and Dr. Ayer can answer this question.
Dr. Swami, you know more about this stuff than I do, so I'll let you go first, sir.
About what?
About who will be the possible CM in Rajasthan and Madhya Pradesh.
If it is
Shivraj Chauhan.
If Vasundhara becomes, I will believe that Modi has undergone a major psychological change. He, knowing him, knowing Vasundhara, he will never have her as chief minister, according to me.
And Shivraj Chauhan, Dr. Swami?
Shivraj Chauhan is already, he has not been declared as the next continuing chief minister. He was a chief minister. And
he was not projected. Nobody was projected as chief minister candidate.
Yeah, absolutely.
You are the sitting chief minister. And if you don't project anybody, you are in effect saying that there's perhaps a better alternative to Shivraj Chauhan. So I think he probably won't be there. And knowing Narendra Modi for such a long time, I'll tell you that this will all go to Z, and we may affect our Lok Sabha. But on the other hand, this Hindutva factor has become very strong in North India, and so we should be able to perform very well in the Lok Sabha elections also.
Dr. Swami, I think Shivraj Chauhan will come back. The reason is he has done better than last time. He's gained more seats. So I don't think, if all things considered, Modi should not make the mistake. Uh-huh. I'm just saying my opinion. I'm just saying what I feel.
No, I agree. Yours is a more healthy approach, saying that he performed. Yeah.
Don't break something that's working. A very simple fact. We also say don't mess with something that's working.
Think like that. He thinks that he's next to God. So yeah. He will decide whoever
lost. So they can't be the CM candidate. I don't think that works in BJP. Somebody like Arun Jaitley lost pathetically, but he still became the finance minister. I don't think that.
Not only that. Very recently in Uttarakhand election, Pushkar Singh Dhami lost the election. He was the sitting chief minister. Sitting chief minister lost, but even after losing, they made him chief minister. Uttar Pradesh, the deputy chief minister lost in his own constituency in Allahabad.
When it comes to BJP, I don't think losing is an issue.
They want the fight in the states to be alive. And I'm sure this Narottam Mishra, who has lost the election from Dathia, I'm sure they will bring him again, despite of his losing, because he's the only person who can challenge Shivraj Chauhan. And maybe Shivraj Chauhan will be brought to the state. And a new chief minister can be brought.
Yeah, he could be that, or maybe he made a deputy chief minister and created an ruckus. I see. At the end of the day, whatever fancies Modi today will happen, because at the end of the day, this elections, this is this defied all polls and things. So the way he has come back with these three elections, as Dr. Swami said, he is going to have fun nominating the chief ministers.
So at the end of the day, he has not nominated anyone who his a background of being senior to him, which Shivraj Chauhan has, and B is likely to require time to say yes to him. That is, he will not be a yes man. This is my guess. He will not make Shivraj Chauhan chief minister again. He said, "Bahut ho gaya." He'll bring him to Delhi as a minister in the government.
And in Rajasthan, Vasundhara cannot become, right? She is far too strong.
Far too independent.
Modi would like that. I don't think, in all things considered, I don't think that based on what Modi has acted in the past, that is not his nature. It is not his nature. So he can defy nature again, but that is not his nature.
Yeah.
Or they may be retained till the 2024 Lok Sabha election for another 6 months.
Yeah, possibly.
Months.
Because
once Modi comes back, it's 24. Then they may change.
Yeah, basically because the amount of votes she's garnered and still the popularity that she wields in Rajasthan, she might be brought in for a temporary time, and then when the 2024 is done, they might say, "Oh, you also come into the center," and that kind of jugglery will happen.
He will not take that risk.
One very important thing in Madhya Pradesh is that this time the margins are huge. BJP members have won by 50,000, 60,000, 70,000. I mean, last time the fight was so narrow, last election, that is 2018, they had 114 seats and 116 seats between Congress and BJP. The difference of one or two seats only. Not only that, in every victory, the margin was 500 to 1,000 or maybe 2,000. This time, the BJP has swept majority of the vote seats because of the as per the Congress leader called Pramod Krishnan, he says, Sanatan Dharma ka shrap lag gaya inko. The curse of Sanatan Dharma.
Absolutely.
Rahul Gandhi did not speak against Udayanidhi Stalin when he had claimed the Sanatan Dharma to eliminate it or decimate it. So,
yeah, that's exactly what Sri, when Sri Iyer said
it
has had a huge impact when he began saying that, you know, what Udayanidhi said has a huge impact in the north. Because BJP did a phenomenal campaign of spreading that, saying that if these guys come, they're going to destroy Sanatan Dharma. So that,
not only that, I have said in earlier program, BJP's single point agenda is Hindu-Muslim. If BJP does not do Hindu-Muslim, no election they can win. No election they can win. And this election, it helped because Hindu-Muslim was also there and Shivraj Chauhan's development work was also there. And anti-incumbency Ashok Gehlot and Bhupesh Baghel. So Bhupesh Baghel and Ashok Gehlot, they got defeated because of the anti-incumbency. Not only that, for the first time I observed that corruption has played a role. Modi went around rallies after rallies in Rajasthan saying Lal Diary, Lal Diary, Lal Diary, Lal Diary ke kale karna mein. Lal Diary was a red color diary which was in discussion that it had all the misdeeds of the Ashok Gehlot government listed there. So one, and second is this Baghel government got blamed for this Mahadev gaming, and ED and CBI have already raided relatives of Bhupesh Baghel to get the trail of the money that has been paid to Bhupesh Baghel allegedly. So this time, Rajasthan and Chhattisgarh, corruption also worked. The infighting also works, and Hindutva card of BJP also works.
One thing, in spite of 40% of all schemes for the downtrodden went about Muslims, I don't know if the correct calculations, roughly only about BJP got 2% of the votes. So I think it is a good lesson for BJP saying that there's no point in doing this appeasement politics. So I think they should double down on Hindutva 2024. I think BJP will make a clean sweep in 2024 because there's no point in doing appeasement politics. And the last time, Arvindji, you said some of this Swamiji who tried to help that guy.
Bageshwar, Baba Bageshwar.
Poor guy. He's going to have EDA, IB, everybody on him very soon. He's going to have the Asaram Bapu treatment done for him very soon.
Okay, so we said now Tina Factor will work. There is no alternative to Modi.
Yeah, Tina, absolutely.
And I'm sure the way BJP people are celebrating, they're saying 400 seat. I think there should not be much doubt about the independent majority Modi and Shah will bring. I mean, whether some people like or dislike, but I think the number is going to increase because every card is working in their favor. Everything is working in their favor.
Hindutva card and timing of opening the Ram Mandir and all those things. The only mistake Modi should not do is advance the elections or you know, prepone the election and try to do that Vajpayee nonsense. Allow it.
There's only 6 months. How many months he can prepone for? I mean, there's hardly any time for preponement. So in fact, it would have been better if the Lok Sabha elections were held along with these states, because this the kind of sweeping BJP has done.
I don't think BJP even thought they will get this mandate. Arvindji, I don't think even BJP thought they will get this kind of mandate in Madhya Pradesh.
Absolutely. Nobody thought.
I don't think they also imagined.
Chhattisgarh, no exit poll, no opinion poll. Nobody predicted that the Baghel can lose.
Sorry. We did. We gurus did.
You did opinion poll.
We said P Chhattisgarh, there is a surprise. Because one of my constant guests, JVC Sriram, had actually been on the ground.
People sitting in America can do the prediction in India. That is a good thing.
Arvindji,
polls in India can't do it.
Arvindji, aapko zameen par utar kar logon se baat cheet karna hai, tabhi aapko pata chalta hai ki kya hawa hai, kiski hawa hai. So, hamare vishleshan mein JVC Sriram ji ne Chhattisgarh khud apne paison par wo jaakar वहां पर उन्होंने कई दिन बिताए, तो ये ग्राउंड स्वेल का जो सिचुएशन था उन्होंने बताया था कि यहां पर मैं सेंस कर रहा हूं कि यहां पर एक सरप्राइज हो सकती है. इतना भी मैं कह सकता हूं कि रूरल छत्तीसगढ़ में किसी ने महादेव ऐप के बारे में सुना नहीं था, लेकिन जब भ्रष्टाचारी जो का नाम जो होता है. और एक और चीज देखिए, पहले सब क्या सोचते थे, हम टीवी में हम कुछ बोल दिए तो वो सब मान लेंगे. अभी आपको एक पावरफुल अल्टरनेटिव मिल गया है सर जी, आपको स्मार्टफोन पर आप देख सकते हैं यूट्यूब में क्या क्या कौन कौन कर रहा है. और एक और चीज, यूट्यूब का जो चैनल का जो एडवांटेज क्या है, अगर मैं कुछ बोलूंगा कि भाई मैं ये देख रहा हूं, तो आपको टाइम मिलता है, समय मिलता है 10-15 मिनट उसको व्याख्यान करने में, उसको एक्सप्लेन करने में क्यों ऐसा सोच रहा हूं. तो लोग समझते हैं ये तो सिर्फ इट इज गोइंग बैक टू आवर नरेशन. राम कथा सुनने के लिए हर सबको पता है कि रावण मरने वाला है, फिर भी हम जाकर सुनते हैं रामायण में, क्योंकि उसमें कोई एक नया एक एंगल आएगा, कोई एक आए. तो ये जो यूट्यूब का जो प्रभाव है, मेरा ये मानना है स्पेशली इन हिंदी कि ये बहुत ज्यादा है और लोग सुनते हैं और सोचते हैं उसके बाद में ऐसा क्यों, ये शख्स ऐसा क्यों कह रहा है, शायद उसके बाद में कुछ दम हो. आई एम जस्ट थिंकिंग लाउड.
No, I think both Congress and BJP were distributing a lot of money to the journalists who are operating independent as independent YouTuber. So they're on both sides. It's not only
Sarji, mere ko ek paisa bhi nahi mila. Sarji, mujhe sirf gaali galoch milte hain. Dr. Swami bhi mujhe gaali dete hain. Modi wale bhi mujhe gaali dete hain. Hum to bas gaali kha kar hi shaktishali ban jate hain bas.
Main to gaali nahi deta hu, main aapko margdarshan karta hu.
So I think it is going to be interesting next 6 months, not only in these states but even otherwise. A precursor to Lok Sabha, it is not semi-final, they claim, because if they had lost then they would have had a bad phase. So they say it was never a semi-final, but we will have the same effect continuing till the Lok Sabha election. So I'm sure if this trend continues, Modi will have 400.
The opposition can do some damage in 24 only if they shun this Gandhi family. I am telling you, otherwise they have no chance.
I think, Ramesh, you have made a very important point, but the Congress is not going to learn from your suggestion, because if they do, or if they did earlier, I'm sure the results would have been different.
Arvind ji, kiske paise lage Telangana mein? किसके पैसे लगे आपको पता है?
हाँ, किसके पैसे लगे? दाऊद के
नहीं, डीके शिव कुमार के. दाऊद
डीके शिव कुमार इज मेड इन चार्ज.
हाँ, तो अब आप जो
इवन इन कर्नाटका, इवन इन कर्नाटका डीके शिव कुमार स्पेंड द मनी एंड इन तेलंगाना आल्सो.
देखिए, बात ऐसा है, आई यूज्ड टू मेक फन ऑफ डॉक्टर स्वामी, योर गुड फ्रेंड ओवैसी. आई यूज्ड टू मेक फन ऑफ हिम, यू नो, आई स्पीक इन हैदराबादी बोली. And I'll say, you know, I'll give you a sample. I have a, you know, imaginary friend called Amjad. So, you know, we pick up conversations when you're going and traveling around Hyderabad. So somebody asked a guy who's driving an auto and he's from the old city. So he asked him, look, everybody is getting money for voting for the party that they vote for. How much does MIM pay? So this guy said, you know, Owaisi Saab never pays us any money. Sirf Islam khatre mein. Kab tak ye chalate rahoge aap? Islam khatre mein, Islam khatre mein. So Congress comes to old city and says, dekh, main tere ko paise deta hun. So they were expected to win in seven constituencies. They only won in four. MIM. Hmm. MIM magic is over now. So Congress has found a way to break that. BJP could have done the same thing too. Although I'm hearing BJP also has done well. There is a split in some of the old city constituencies where BJP might be the eventual winner because the Muslim vote is now split.
Rajasingh is looking very well. Rajasingh is the leader. Tamil Nadu in Hyderabad, T. Raja Singh dominates BJP's cadre. And T. Raja Singh is 100% Hindutva and he won on his own. And he also was instrumental in getting the 9 seats.
Yes, yes.
And Sri, I think this giving money concept, I think in Pan India, I've learned from Tamil Nadu. I think Tamil Nadu should be very proud.
Yes, yes, very proud, very proud, very proud.
Freebies, all the models, the, you know, the Dravidian parties has contributed to the national electoral process. Okay, thanks.
Arvind, we have gone past our time for to wrap up.
The subject is interesting subject and it's so fresh that even now 100% results have not been officially declared by Election Commission. So things will continue maybe by some constituencies by late night. One minister has won by 7 votes in Madhya Pradesh, 7 votes. And there have been riots after in that constituency after counting on two sides clashing with each other, demanding the recount and all that. But that is very rare. As I said, wherever BJP has won, they have won by a huge majority. Anyway, let's continue this some other time because the trends will also reflect in the next Lok Sabha election and it will be of great interest to our viewers also to listen to this discussion and Dr. Swami's views on 2024 election and what happens to India. Thank you, Sri Airji, for giving such a good analysis of the Guru Patwan Singh Pannoon and also the election from P. Guru's perspective. Dr. Swami, of course, he initiated the discussion and he is the person who knows BJP inside out, having spent more than 50 years with this party, more than 50 years in politics and more than 50 years with this party. And thanks, Ramesh and Jagdish for co-hosting this program. Thank the technical team led by Ashish Shetty, Swaminathan, Tejas Navalgul, Vishal Mehta, Ishwar Iyer, Gadgi Rakesh and Ajesh Nair. Next Sunday, we are actually meeting after 2 Sundays with Diwali and thereafter we did not meet, but last Sunday we had Indo-US relations. We will be meeting again next Sunday with fresh topic and maybe some implications by which time would have been known for the elections. Then a new topic and Dr. Subramanian Swami. Viewers, wait till next Sunday, 8 p.m. Indian Standard Time. Till then, Namaskar and Jai.